The reading this morning is taken from Zephaniah chapter 3, starting at verse 14. And hopefully it'll be on the screen. If you have a Bible, one of the church Bibles, it's on page 946. So that's Zephaniah chapter 3, starting at verse 14. Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart. Daughter Jerusalem, the Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I will remove from you all who mourn over the loss of your appointed festivals, which is a burden and reproach for you. At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord.
So how many of you are parents? How many of you are grandparents? How many of you are godparents? How many of you have ever been a child? There should be slightly more. Well, I was going to ask both of you, how's the parenting going? Perhaps I could give you the mic and you tell us all about it. He says joyful, but he's got a very serious face. Okay. It's a pretty easy job, isn't it, really? Being a dad. Well, all of us have had parents, and most of them have been good enough most of the time, probably. But all of us have failings. I hope that most of us here... I hope that all of us here have some happy memories too, even if it was a difficult childhood. There are any number of books about parenting these days. I find I'm a bit allergic to them, but they may be some help to some. But I think there's two things that are really important for children to grow up healthily. And it's, do parents create a world... How's that going? So there's two things that are needed: love and order. So I want to offer sort of a quadrant, four kinds of parenting. The higher it goes, the more the love. The more to the right, this is not a political thing, this is just saying on this graph, the greater the level of order in life. So loving and ordered. That is the best possible home life. The child feels so loved and they understand it's an intelligible world in which they grow up. Some of you have been so blessed because that was your experience of being a child. Others of us are loving, but we're not necessarily consistent. It's maybe a slightly chaotic environment. And this is nothing to do with the depth of dust around a house. It's, is the world safe? Does it make sense? So if a child is asking, if I behave this way, does it always generate the same response in a parent? And if there's inconsistency, they can't work out the rules. And if a child grows up not knowing if there are any boundaries or any rules, they actually end up very unhappy and unsettled. And then there's some homes that are unloving but ordered. The child understands this is the way we play, but they don't feel valued. They don't feel any personal sense of worth. They never felt really loved. And there's a lot of evidence to show that children who grow up in a chaotic but loving home can still thrive. Praise God. But if a child, even if the world is ordered, if it's not loving, they do worse. It's harder to thrive if it's not a loving environment. And then last, and I won't spend time on it, is the most damaging environment, where it's not only unloving, but it's chaotic. They never know what the rules are, and they don't feel their lives have any significance. And that's very troubling. So hopefully, if at this stage you are a parent, you're now feeling completely overwhelmed, feeling, oh no, I'm in the wrong quadrant. You could probably place yourself on the graph. So, well, I try and be in the top to the right, but it sometimes veers down to the left a bit or downwards, wherever it is. Well, as I said at the start, most parents are good enough most of the time. So we don't want to get neurotic over it. We're not perfect, but we're hopefully okay, and by the grace of God can do the very best job we can. But whatever our parenting that we're offering or the parenting we received, there is good news, I believe, from the most unlikely source. Yes, it's the Bible. We've been going around the Bible, starting over here, and we're now coming into land here, returned from Babylon. So Zephaniah, it may be that there's quite a few people who have memorized sections of Zephaniah, but I would be surprised. It's a very small book, only three chapters, and the bit that Carrie read a moment ago is looking towards the hope of the future, even though things have gone horribly wrong. That's a message of hope when things have gone wrong. That can happen in families. It can happen in marriages. It can happen in parenting, or any in the workplace where there's bad relationships. There can still be hope when God is invited in. And so I'd like to read just one verse again, which I think is so outstanding. It's Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. And I believe that these things have happened to us. We can actually encounter it now, especially in the person of Jesus. The Lord your God is with you. How many of you, when you were children, can remember a moment when you got lost or you were separated and you got terrified? How many of us have had? Unfortunately, my children can put up their hands so often to that, I'm really guilty over it. Okay. And this can lead to quite a lot of trauma. So, sorry, kids, he's going out even now. Just the memory of it, the trauma. Ask him about when we went to America. There was a bad moment there. It turns out it's quite a big country. For me, it happened when I was four. I was in a toy shop. It should have been so joyful. And I suddenly couldn't find my mum. And I was just terrified. It probably only lasted a minute and a half, but it felt forever. And most of us probably can hook in if we close our eyes and imagine a moment, a sort of primal terror of abandonment. People can have abandonment issues because we've been so scared through that. And God says, the Lord your God is with you. One of the names given to Jesus, of course, is Emmanuel. God is with you. I was talking to someone this morning, seeing he's been restored now, and they've just been bereaved this week. But it was quite touching because she knew God was still with her. It hasn't fixed it, and yet another sense it has, because she knows she's not alone. God is with me in this. Not the other side of this. Right now, God is still with me. In Jesus, God is truly with us. And he's a mighty warrior to save. The psalmist, in a number of places, cries out, "Save me from my enemies who are too strong for me." How many of you were ever bullied at school? Anyone? It's a horrible thing. I went to, well, it was a good school, but I remember some really nasty bullying, and I remember thinking I'll do anything not to be on the receiving end of that. And I remember when I was a young dad, I thought I would do anything to make sure my kids are not bullied. And I passed on some advice. I'm not sure I should say it, but I was told, always run away from a fight, but if you can't get away, make sure you land the first punch. Now, I'm not saying that's the Lord, but I just remember what motivated me was, I want my kids to be safe. How do we navigate the world? But some bullies are too big for us. Save me from enemies who are too strong for me. And one of the words, the names for Jesus is Savior. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. That's where that song comes from. Everyone needs compassion, kindness of a Savior. Let mercy fall on me. And it's from this verse. He's a mighty warrior to save. In the person of Jesus, in the brokenness and weakness of Jesus on the cross, the foolishness of God is stronger than human wisdom. It's stronger and wiser, because that's how we've been saved. And so our biggest enemies are sin and death and hell and Satan. They're the biggest bullies on the block. And Jesus comes to be the rescuer, the one who saves us. And on the cross, he stretched out his hand to save. And we just say, oh Lord, I could do with a savior. If you ever go to Guernsey, there's the town church in St. Peterport. There's a beautiful stained glass window, and it's got Peter just as he's sinking into the waves. And it's got the caption, Lord, save me. And Jesus is going, no, you've messed up too many times. No, of course he's not. He stretches out his hand. He's mighty to save. Put your hand in Jesus' outstretched hands. He's mighty to save. And he'll take great delight in you. Do you know that you are loved by God more than you love yourself? However you come to him, the good news is you come as you are. And the good news is, or in fact sometimes the bad news is, he doesn't let us stay as we are. He wants us to grow and to develop. He loves us more than we love ourselves. And so God orders the world, but it's much more than ordering. He loves the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He takes delight in you. I remember the first time I held my own child in my hands, and I thought, well, I won't tell you what I thought. It's just like, oh, help. But there's such a rush of, wow, this is such an extraordinary moment in life. And that's what God says. He will take great delight in you. You'll remember the first time you held Esther and thought, Lord, what have we here? And you're waiting over the years to discover this human being you called into existence by the power of God. And so we want Esther to grow up knowing her parents love her. And God feels the same. I want my children to grow up knowing that I love them. And then the fourth line, in his love, he will no longer rebuke you. I think one of the things I found worst as being a dad was I was always telling my children off. I found it really difficult because I didn't want to be a nag, but they were especially bad children, I think. And then someone gave me some very helpful advice, and they said, try and catch your children doing something right. And actually, it unlocked something in me, and I stopped being Don't you know, it was, wow, well done. You're so good at that. Thank you. I haven't been able to keep it up consistently. I'm still on the chaotic side there. But being positive, because we all respond to praise much better than criticism. And God says he's the same. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you. Because of Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. We're not under law. We're under grace. We know the smile of God. And finally, he'll rejoice over you with singing. In Luke 15, there's three parables about lost things, a lost coin, a lost sheep, and actually two lost sons. It's just one doesn't know he's lost. And there's a lovely verse, Luke 15:10. There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And I used to mishear that as, oh, the angels are having a good sing-song because someone's returned. But it's not saying that. There's rejoicing, there's singing in the presence. It's God who's doing the singing. And our singing is nothing to do with how good your voice is. If you're blessed, as Rory is, to sing exceptionally high, then that's fantastic. But, do you know, this is the only nation in the world where people say they can't sing. I mean, I go down to Evensong in the cathedral. It's beautiful. But somehow, because of our that rarefied type of singing, so many people say, oh, well, I can't sing. There's no other culture says that. I've been in South Sudan. Everyone sings. No one says, no, I can't really do that. I've got a friend, a dear friend, who went to a public school at a tender age. And in the first week, everyone was made to stand on stage and sing. And at the end of just a few bars, he was told by the choir master, you are not to sing. For the next 7 years, you are to mime. That's abuse. I kid you not. That has damaged him. Because he says to this day, oh, I can't sing. And that's a lie from the pit. Everyone can sing. In the bath, in the shower, you're all divas, aren't you? You just do it. Praise God. Sing to him. Let it flow. If you've had that curse put on you, you can sing. You just need to do it and believe. And God has made you to sing. Because you're made in his image, and he rejoices over you with singing. The Lord your God is with you. He's a warrior, mighty to save. He takes great delight in you, and he's not always telling you off. He's so much nicer than some of us believe. There's no condemnation, and he rejoices over you with singing. And so, Alex and Becky, we're just delighted to share today with you. Let's just have a moment thinking about your parenting again. Whatever our experience of life has been, what we've received or what we've thus far given, God is a perfect parent. And he wants to restore what's broken in my life and in yours. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come and do the work that you intend? Would you set us free where somehow a curse has landed on us and we think little of ourselves when you think so much? When we feel hopeless and like Esther today is given the name of hope, Lord, would you restore hope in this place and in our hearts? Come, Holy Spirit. So let's just listen to what the Spirit is saying. If anyone feels they've got something that God's giving them for someone else, just come and speak it out. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you, in his love. He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Lord, we just say thank you so much for your love.